Please, Mark 10, 4, 5, and 6, please. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this of the precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Right, verse 4. Oh, yes, Pastor Ed.
We want to clarify something, just in case it wasn't clear before.
Okay.
The church doesn't, we don't believe the scripture teaches divorce and remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
We believe marriage is for life. And if there is a separation, we believe reconciliation is the best method to go, if mm-hmm. possible.
Uh-huh.
There was some confusion that I got a phone call last week about something to do with I know one of the archive editions, they seemed that they were troubled about something.
Just
clarify, no divorce, no remarriage, reconciliation when possible, and that
mm-hmm.
The exception clause, the so-called exception clause has reference to the betrothal method, the betrothal mm-hmm. period of time, when actually Mary and Joseph were called husband and wife mm-hmm. in the betrothal period of time.
Right, okay, that's good. Any other questions that they asked that you want to clarify?
That was basically,
what
it was, I think. I mean, they were focusing on certain types of things, but, you know, I want to make sure that that's clear to them if they watch this section.
Very good.
No divorce, no remarriage. We do not accept, we don't recognize the so-called exception clause
mm-hmm.
at a reference to the betrothal period of time, in which time. And if, for example, Mary and Joseph were called husband and wife, even though they were not husband and wife in today's sense of the term.
Mm-hmm.
But in the betrothal sense of the term, they were.
Mm-hmm.
And reconciliation when possible.
But they were
not married. You're right.
That's
they were
right.
not married. They were betrothed.
That yes. was an engagement period.
It was a strong engagement period.
Stronger than engagement. Stronger, yes.
Well, it's
strong.
Like
yeah.
Victorian
marriage
yeah,
divorce.
And yes, the only way to break the betrothal was to get a divorce. See, now that's not marriage, it's betrothal, and the custom of the Jews, breaking it by divorce. All right? But that's not marriage.
That's where the exception comes in. In the betrothal period,
that's right.
Under the umbrella of betrothal,
right.
If within the betrothal period
right.
there was unfaithfulness, if there was fornication,
mm-hmm.
then, and only then, was that divorce permissible.
Right. Yes.
It was not that long ago in this country that if you were engaged and broke the engagement, you could sue for breach of contract.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Yes. So that's correct. That's correct. Position of our church, position of the scriptures. We don't believe in divorce and remarriage. A lot of times people, because of either criminality or threats of death, there's a separation, and sometimes it's a divorce, but staying unmarried the rest of their life is the scriptural New Testament. Now, it says Moses suffered. What testament was Moses in? New Testament or Old?
Old Testament.
Is a Christian today under the Old Testament? No?
No.
No. Anything that's repeated in the New Testament, that's for us. Not the Old Testament. So Moses' picture of divorce is different than the picture today, as we will see later. All right, so a bill of divorcement to put her away. That was under the regular thing, betrothal or no betrothal. The Old Testament, they could divorce and so on. But there was no reconciliation in the Old Testament. We're different in the New. When people divorce, if they want to reconcile, they can reconcile. In the Old Testament, once you divorce, you can't remarry the same man who's divorced or same woman and so on. So, under grace, we can. Yes, Marley.
We checked this out in Deuteronomy that the only reason for divorcement was for divorce was uncleanness. It wasn't a blanket no fault divorce. It was there had to be cause,
right.
The cause of uncleanness.
Yes, had to be a cause. That's right. So divorce meant to put her away, that is, yes, Anna, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anna.
I thought that the reconciliation could not occur if remarriage occurred. That was my understanding of the Old Testament.
Yes, that was the law, yes. Mm-hmm.
But I understood the law that if, it doesn't say reconciliation can't happen if there is no remarriage, does it? I think it's... No,
that's right. It's once you marry some other man, then you can't go back to your first man. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, Barbara?
But that was...
Under the law.
Under the law.
Yes.
Jesus said from the beginning it was not so.
Right. Yvonne?
Well, what's in it for uncleanness?
Well, anyhow,
she wasn't a virgin.
It could be that. Could be fornication. Could be all kinds of... Unclean, impurity, sin. something like that. All right, and so then in verse number 5, why did the Lord Jesus say Moses permitted divorce?
Hardness of the heart.
Hardness of the heart. He wrote unto you the precept. Now in verse 6, what is the difference from the beginning? Before the Mosaic Law, before Moses, what did God say in the book of Genesis?
He doesn't exist. I don't understand what he said. To answer your question, he made the male and female, but I am at a loss as to understanding what that has to do.
Well, the next verse tells it, but I mean, this he's giving a picture of the
altar. For this cause, okay, shall a man leave?
Yes. It explains the next verse, but now, did God permit homosexuality in the Old Testament?
No.
Male and female, it's not male, male, female, female. He didn't create two men or two women. And this whole nonsense, vicious, satanic, homosexual marriage, completely against the Scripture, completely against the Word of God. It's blasphemous. It's satanic to the core. And to people that don't agree with that, for us who don't agree with it, to be put into some terrible box or pit and slurred and slammed and cursed at, it's a terrible thing. See, if the homosexuals want to be homosexual, they're free. But don't make every one of us kowtow to their wicked sin. See, that's the thing. Free for everything. I don't agree with homosexuality, but in this country, they ought to be free. If they want to do that, that's up to them. But don't make it a practice that we can't be against it, and we got to conform to that filthy wickedness. It's a terrible situation. But he made them male and female. Yes, Cass.
That's probably a dumb question, but I don't...
No question's dumb, Cass. No question.
The Lord says he made male and female, and he put together, no man should put asunder. Why did Moses think that he could say he could have a divorce if God said no divorce?
Well, yeah, God permitted it under the Mosaic Law. Not that it was God's
will. God permitted it?
He permitted it.
Okay.
See, he permitted a lot of things. God was not for double wives and double husbands, but... He permitted it. Old Testament was filled with multiple wives, multiple husbands. That's not in the Garden of Eden. That's bad. It built.
The words that Moses wrote, the Pentateuch, those words came from God.
That's right.
Right.
It came from God, so it was God's permissive will, even though it wasn't his directive will.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, so male and female. Now, what about this stupidity of transsexualism? Transgenderism. A man's created a man, he changed himself into a woman. A man's created a woman, changed himself into a man. That's going to possess the world. These transsexual, transgender bathrooms and swimming pools and locker rooms. Our government is pushing that on us. It's horrible. Bill.
That all falls under the heading of homosexuality.
Yes.
An abomination.
Yes, yes. You fall.
Now, I don't know why we don't, as believers, don't stand up and, you know, make a fuss over what's going on, that we don't want to conform to their malicious, satanic ways of life over here. I mean, I don't know why we as believers don't stand up and demand that we don't conform.
That's right. Well, we do demand. Our church, and I personally, and many do, but... Obama is wayward, passing laws that are contrary to the Constitution, contrary to the First Amendment, which is freedom of religion, freedom of faith. He doesn't care. That's sad. He's forcing this thing on people. Yeah, Bill?
Then again, too, there are so many churches who interpret the Bible their own way rather than the way they are supposed to interpret it,
mm-hmm.
literally. They apply their own unique theology on it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how bad Obama makes fun of Christians when he visited that church last year,
mm-hmm.
And tried to make fun of all Christianity, there are pastors that were seated right behind him who were accepting it and laughing along with him mm-hmm. all the time. There are many churches who are terrible and they don't stand on the Word of God.
Right.
I don't know what
it's called. Yes, yes.
But those terrible churches you're talking about have a right to exist in America under the Constitution.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a right. They have a right to be wrong.
You may disagree with them, but they have a right, and it's legal to do that.
Nobody says they don't have a right to blaspheme God, to tear up the Bible, to curse the Lord Jesus Christ, to blaspheme God. That's their right. We don't agree with them. We're totally opposed to them.
So we're doing is not agreeing with them, that's all.
I didn't say they don't have a right, but they have a right to be wrong. And they're dead wrong. Yeah, Bill.
To you, they're dead wrong.
They're dead wrong from the Bible. God says they're dead wrong. Not just me.
Not
just me.
They're not dead from the Bible.
Wait a minute. The Bible says they're dead wrong.
That's right. But they're not.
Nobody said anything about the Constitution. That's a different
thing. I'm saying about it.
There's nothing about that.
I'm saying about it. That's the law of the land.
But they're dead wrong. God says they're dead wrong. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with that.
Okay, then shut up about the Constitution.
Ah, the Constitution is what runs this country, not the Bible.
The Constitution may run the country.
Don't bring up the Constitution. We talk about a morality.
God's
morality.
Well, then stop talking about Obama. He's the Constitution.
No, he's not. He violates the Constitution.
Yes, he is.
He violates the Constitution.
If you violate it, you can sue it.
He's against the Constitution.
Prove me wrong.
He's against
Nobody has done that.
He's wrong, dead wrong.
No, he's not.
The Constitution is very clear.
Okay.
The only thing the federal government can do is what is specifically told to them.
Yeah.
The rest is reserved to the states or to the people.
Yeah.
Obama, he does all things by himself, nothing to do with the country. He's unconstitutional time and time again. First Amendment, Second Amendment, gender.
He's unconstitutional. He doesn't have a right to do that.
He doesn't believe the Constitution. He's a
If you don't believe that's true, what he does, sue him.
Listen,
please.
I'm just telling a fact. I don't have to sue anybody. I'm just telling a fact.
That's your fact. That's your opinion. That's all it is.
It's a fact.
It's your fact, not my fact.
It's a fact. He goes against the Constitution completely. Completely. Anthony, you're so knucklehead, you don't even agree with it. What's the matter with you as a lawyer? You ought to know that.
I'm telling you, I'm a lawyer.
But you don't know the Constitution.
Give me a legal advice.
If you think Obama's following the Constitution, you're crazy. Absolutely stark raving mad.
Well, you have to go to school if you don't believe
me.
The head of the Christian church is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
No government has a right to interfere with the church.
Right.
Now, the fact that somebody from the government goes into a church and ridicules the church, that is dead wrong.
Right. Pastor Dan.
Greetings from Elroy, Wisconsin. My comments. I was reading in a book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. Could this be correct? This must be a quote from the book. Christians are prohibited from taking another Christian to a worldly court the way to obtain a legal degree. To obtain legal divorce, 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you bring a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. So that's a comment she has as far as.
Who is it coming from?
Oh, from the cook from Coast. It's Rick and Wendy.
Cook, Rick, yes.
I believe, or it could be from. Well, it is the Coast.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. Let's wave to Wendy and Rick Kosick from Wisconsin. Okay, thank you, Wendy. All right, so.
So I think she had a question there.
Yeah.
What was the
her observation? Her observation was in 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about you should take another brother to court. Now.
It was in a book.
She read this in a book.
Right.
And the book made this comment about it's not proper to take another Christian to court. I mean, I would think that if they're both Christians, then they would be both part of the same church.
Same church, handled in the church. Yes,
he handled the church, but you know, but there's a point when the church doesn't. There's steps, and so if the church cannot resolve the problem, then they're put out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
They would be put out of the church. I would hope the church would want them reconciled.
Yes. No. Yes, Anna.
Well, if in this case they were applying it to divorce and saying that two truly born again Christians shouldn't be getting a divorce anyway. So
no, they shouldn't.
It seems
a law of any kind.
It seems
taking the law on any matter, not simply divorce.
But contextually in the email, I think it was.
The email is specifically about divorce. So hopefully, maybe you
can
read this further. I didn't read it very well. You want
to
read it for me?
No. The comment was: I was reading a book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, and then she asked,
could this be correct? And now she's saying, this is what was apparently in the book. Christians are prohibited from taking another Christian to a worldly court the way to obtain a legal divorce. In other words, 1 Corinthians 6:1, dare any of you have a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints.
Yes, so it should be handled at a local church, if they're local church members, yes. Yvonne?
Well, that's in the beginning when I ever heard about this question. That was the answer to it all. You didn't get a divorce because to a Christian, you didn't go to court, take another Christian to court.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to solve the whole issue. I don't know what they did if one was saved and one was unsaved.
Mm-hmm. So take it before the church. Yes, Bill?
Well, you can't take a divorce case to a church anyway because they can't declare a divorce. That can only be declared in a court, a secular court.
Well, they don't.
Yes, the question was about divorce and marriage. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 had to do with law before anything, whatever, 1 Corinthians, whatever it is, chapter 6, has to do with taking a fellow believer at law for anything. It's not simply divorce and marriage. But, so the question was phrased in that comment, but it was not any problem. Go to the church first, let them solve it. Okay? Yeah, Pastor Dan.
I mean, the Christians, if they're two genuine Christians, a man and a woman who are married, the Christians, they should be seeking reconciliation.
Right.
I mean, so that's before they run the court, they should try to fix the marriage,
mm-hmm.
look for a godly answer to repair, and they should just work it out.
Work it out.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no divorce.
Yeah.
Divorce exists, but especially in the context of the church. Mm-hmm. Two born again Christians, genuinely saved Christians, should not be seeking a divorce.
They have no part in going to a secular court to get a divorce.
Well, it's sad that marriage is difficult for.
The bread is God's word.
Yeah, that's the word of God. What's the word?
Up here.
You have a question, Martin?
You want to read it?
I think she's
And 11? You want to read that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
what it said. Yes.
Okay. The. I forget what I was going to say about it. So, Bill of the Lord, hardness of the heart, the beginning of that soul, male and female, it was created. All right, so that's 4, 5, and 6. The picture of reconciliation is given in 1 Corinthians 7 and also Romans chapter 7. There's definite situations. They should be reconciled where all possible. But the first thing about divorce, or pre-marriage anyway, and breaking up of a marriage, is the question of falsehood, lying. When you go before a marriage ceremony, many times it says, do you solemnly pledge, or whatever you want to say with the word, if you don't believe in swearing, to take this woman or this man as a lawfully wedded husband or wife until death parts you. And if you say yes, and then you ship the woman or the man another week or a year or 2 years or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, you're breaking your oath, you're before God to pledge. But since people don't believe in keeping their word, I guess doesn't mind many times, doesn't care. They don't care what they're pledging or not pledging. Just like the people in one of the parties pledged that, would all of you pledge if you don't get, like you're going to follow the one that the nominee is of the party. They all said yes, but two or three or four of them said they're not going to keep their oath, their pledge. Strange. Anyway, so let's read verses 7. 7, 8, and 9 together. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave for his wife, and they twain should be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Alright, so in verse number 6, we have, before we started 6, right?
We started at 7,
is it?
Yeah, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, we have just 7, 8, and 9. Okay, started with 7. Oh, that's correct. And For what cause in verse 7? What's it referring back to? For this cause.
God made the male and female.
Male and female is what God... Now, what does this word made mean?
Create.
Means create. Do the evolutionists believe in creation?
No.
No, they don't. And do the schools normally teach creation?
No.
Secular schools? Secular schools? No, they usually don't.
Our Christian schools don't either.
So a lot of Christian schools are don't believe either.
My school did. I said my home school.
Your home school, that's right. But this is very clear. Of course, because the whole secular world of today has despised the Bible, denies creation by God of Adam and Eve, they don't even make any sense out of verse 6. But from the beginning, God made them, created them, male and female. And then, for this cause, because of his creation, what does it say about a man and his father and mother?
Believe.
In what sense do you think that means to leave?
Back up their clothes and leave.
Move in with his wife.
Move out of the house.
Leave out of the house. Move in with the wife.
Get your own tent.
His father and mother. Now, some of the early Christians, even some today, Quakers, other people, they just add an extra room on the father's house and they live with the house. Remember over in Pennsylvania? Those people do that.
That's the grandstand house. That's when your parents get older. The oldest son gets the house, and then the parents move into the grandstand house, which is just like an in-law suite for them.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes is it not true that some of the young people go to where the father and the mother are, and they add extra rooms. I don't know who gets in their extra room, but they add, and they stay there. But even if they stay with mother and father, in what sense do they leave? What sense does this word leave mean?
Well,
yes, Anthony.
The relationship, they no more father and son. He has a wife now.
All right.
It's husband and wife.
So still he's a father.
He's still
father
and son.
It's
yeah.
not under the obedience of father. It's not the same as living with the father and having a wife. Yes, Tammy, and then Cash, and then Barbara.
Well, he doesn't have a requirement to submit to his father as a child.
Right.
He's the leader of his home.
Right. He doesn't submit. That's right. Cash and then Barbara.
So it's the same thing. His loyalty is with his wife and children.
Right. Right.
And exactly. You respect the longer parents, but
oh, yes.
You have a new life that you do with.
Right. Yes. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, in a patriarchal society where your father breathes your life and death literally, it was then. Now that he started his own, basically what Cass and Tammy said, that he is now his own patriarch in his own home.
Mm-hmm. The young man that's married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct. For this cause, leave his father and mother. Cleave. There are two senses of the word cleave in English. What are the two senses?
One sense is to cling, to stay with her.
All right. What's the other sense?
Separate.
Leave her.
Divide,
cut in half, split, meat cleaver. Yes, someone has their hand up.
I did.
Oh, yeah,
fine. I remember what it was. Oh, when a man gets married and he leaves his father's house, you know, and under his father's, you know, he doesn't have to be his baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts his own. I forget exactly what I want to say, but I want to say I remember, and there's a difference. There's a difference that the groom, the new groom, can tell between him and his father. Not that he doesn't love his father, but he doesn't have to be the boy. No, he says the man.
Honor your father and mother,
yes.
But not necessarily obey like you were like a child. Yeah.
And I remember Richard, our son, our third son,
mm-hmm.
He said there was a big difference as soon as he was married between you and him. Now, if you realize it, but he that you had a different communication with him, everything.
Right.
You know, and he...
I honored the Bible, and he's not any longer under our thumb.
He mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, and he appreciated it. Because
yes.
You're a very strong father.
As a father, very strong. When they're under the roof,
uh-huh.
When they get out, they're on their own.
But they're I fall. Don't know of when a man gets so old, and he's not married. I don't know what that is. I don't know. If he has his own business and everything and doing fine, there must be a division. Just because he doesn't have a wife doesn't mean, you know what I'm
saying? Well, there should be an honor out of God. Anthony, did you have something after
that? I forgot.
Okay. All right, Paul.
Well, first of all, a couple things. Number one,
We need to pray not only that our internet will be kept open and to be prevented from our government handing it over to the United Nations. We need to pray for that. But also, I have a question. Are there any Christian schools today that do believe in creation, even though most of them don't? Are there any of them that still do?
Yes, number of Christian schools that do. That's right. All of them should, if they're really Christian schools. They should. Yes, Anna?
I suppose it would depend on what sort of church, if the church they're associated with is Bible-believing, or for some Christian schools aren't directly associated with the church.
Mm-hmm.
Some are rather ecumenical.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the Christian school.
Yes.
You have to look at them doctrinally.
Yes, this is Dale.
Dale Boomer from Texas. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah,
verse 6 and 7 goes with Genesis 2:24.
Yes, that's good. You want to read that?
Oh, let me see. I have it open here. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Bye, let's wave to...
Hey, Dale.
Dale.
Hey, Jacob.
And Jacob Roman over in Texas. Okay. Very good. So, this question, a man leaves by and cleave to his wife. And so, there should be a joining with the wife. It's sad, but many wives don't want to stay with the husband. Many husbands don't stay with the wife. That's
that. So, is it possible we can go back to the couple of verses before that, as far as when the Lord Jesus Christ says, with hardness of your heart, we write this precept unto you, is to avoid the divorce, rather than separating, or the divorcing, breaking up the marriage, blowing up the marriage, you should cleave the wife.
Yes, that's what the Lord Jesus was teaching, regardless of what Moses in the Old Testament God permitted. Mm-hmm. All right, we read 8, 2, I believe.
Yeah.
Twain, what does Twain mean?
Two.
Who is Mark Twain?
That had Samuel to do with Clemens. His riverboat, right? Marking the Twain.
Okay, yes. Dave. Yes. Anthony?
Means two.
Means two, that's all it means. The Twain shall be one flesh. Was it Dan?
It was his pen name.
His pen name. What was his real?
Samuel Clemens.
I forget the middle name. Longhorn. Samuel Longhorn Clemens. Okay, you got three names.
No, I didn't remember. I didn't know that.
Yes, that's right.
I probably heard it, but I don't
know. I don't know why I remember. It's been many, many years ago. Some things pop into the mind. Twain should be one flesh, so the two, so God considers husband and wife as one flesh. Two shall be no more twain, but one flesh. A unity in husband and wife. And then in verse 9, what is the extent of God's desire for marriage? Anthony.
Nobody should put it apart, asunder.
That's God's way. Nobody should put it apart or asunder. But God has joined together. Yeah, Bonnie.
This is what it said often. God really didn't join us together. That we were wrong. It was not God.
Uh-huh.
So we can put it asunder.
That's how they misinterpreted it.
Yes.
And what God has joined together. But God didn't join us together, so therefore we can part. But this is the picture of marriage. God should join. Now, in the Old Testament, was there a marriage ceremony as such necessarily?
No.
Abraham, Isaac took a wife. What was his wife's name?
Rebecca.
And had Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob took a wife. What was his wife?
Leah and Rachel.
Okay, Leah and Rachel. So these wives.
Some people jump over a stick.
Or the
groom?
Yes, for a ceremony.
Someplace?
Yes. But yes, Barbara?
The Jews do not have a marriage ceremony like we do. They celebrate the contract that was made that the parents worked out, but that they could not do it against the bride's wishes. If she said, no, I don't want this guy, well, then it was off. But when the contract was finally made and all the ink was dry, that's what they did. They celebrated the contract. They never had a marriage. Jews don't marry.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't.
That's interesting. So
not necessarily.
Yes.
I just wonder because sometimes I've seen one ceremony.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did they exchange vows?
They did,
didn't
they?
I don't know. Oh,
yeah,
but they
weren't
Jews.
Oh, but they had a Jewish ceremony.
They had something.
A Jewish ceremony. At the same time, they have a Christian ceremony. They do that all the time in church camp and
synagogue.
Synagogue?
Yes.
Tammy.
Tammy.
Why is that we're going to a Jewish wedding?
Right, right, Tammy.
Well, in the case of my cousin, she married a Jewish man. So obviously, she wasn't Jewish, so,
I was in some, I think it was outside. Is actually the celebration, Barbara celebrates the contract more like a reception. They, in what we would call the reception, they incorporate some type of activity. Although I do remember seeing something when you have the, either it's both fathers, both mothers, or something are involved in. There's something that goes up, but maybe this is
both parents walk right down the aisle.
Right down the aisle. And so this aisle is not necessarily in the synagogue, it's at the reception hall.
It's
in the synagogue, okay.
Right, Anna.
It's in the synagogue, okay.
Well, I guess I'm just thinking about different parts of the celebration or reception or whatever you choose to think about. How sometimes they break the glass or whatever they do, and sometimes they lift the bride and come up on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the men on one side of the, we'll call it gymnasium, whatever, reception hall, and the other side, there's a curtain that separates them, in some Jewish ceremonies.
Yeah,
it could be. And so, and so there's all different, the three or four different types of, and different subgroups of,
but they still don't marry each other, they still exchange their vows.
So it's all
based on
the contract.
All right, and then verse number 9, as someone said, God has joined these two together in marriage, but not man. What is the definition? What do you mean by the man for the son?
Human.
Human beings, and government, whatever it is. Von, go ahead.
Man.
And so what
would
the
term
say? What's the word for man is? Who was just there?
I can't understand the question.
What's the Greek word?
Or is it on there?
Now you have to look it up. Secret answer from this, right?
I was asking Grandma, but she
is. I don't know what the
question
is.
She just had the Greek class. She took the Greek class.
She was so busy running the camera. She didn't talk to her.
I wanted to say something. Now I'm forgetting it. It was just
someone interrupted.
Oh, a wedding. A wedding that I know about.
Mm-hmm.
They had it was a Christian. Well, Christian wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, the groom and bride were Christians. Allegedly, they had a ceremony, a beautiful ceremony. They took vows and everything. They went away on their honeymoon. They came there. She was just as much a virgin after she got home from the honeymoon as she was when she went.
Mm-hmm.
She was a virgin, right? And no matter how long they lived together, there was no consummation of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the person left because she was ready to go crazy.
Right.
And eventually, that marriage was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
They had a divorce because they owned property together or something like that. It could have been annulled.
Right.
So, what do we do with this? How do we know when God puts together? That was my question. I may remember this.
Well, there must
be. But God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Did God join together these people? And then the people that write on divorce and remarriage to make it their life's work, one thing I can tell who this person is, she says that they were married. I say they were not married. There was no consummation of the marriage.
That's right.
And I'm saying they weren't married. This woman says they are married because they took these vows. So what is it? Did God put together a messed up marriage?
I don't see that happening.
Did they say they were married?
Yeah.
Okay, they're married.
Legally they were married. So were they married before
they
God?
They got married.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
What makes you married?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm sure glad I'm single.
What makes you married? I mean, you know.
For sure, right?
When you walk down the aisle and you say your vows and you walk back up the aisle, you're married. If you stand before a justice of the peace, you are married. Legally, you are married. I understand there's a sexual component in the whole nine yards, but what circumscribes marriage?
All right, Anthony and then Petronella.
All right,
Anthony?
Well, you want to be
Anthony answer that? First.
The first thing you got to get is a marriage license in the place you want to get married.
But that's legal.
But that's what we're talking about.
What are we talking about? Marriage?
Yeah,
but that's not.
Marriage, go ahead.
What's the answer? You get a, first, you have to go to the place where they issue marriage license. Then you take that marriage license to a person that is permitted to marry you.
Yes.
Whether he's a rabbi or a priest or a mayor or if you happen to be on a ship, the captain, he has the legal right to marry you. And he signs a paper saying that he marries you on a certain date and he gives you a copy of it. And that's your evidence that you're married.
Okay.
If and when you want to get a divorce.
Right.
Pastor Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if there's a ceremony, I mean, you can't see the other extreme, the people would, so these people would have just, there's some people that just skipped the whole thing, and I know people that have been living together for years and years and years, and
without any ceremony,
and so are they married? No, we would say no, they're not married. They're violating again the principles of the scripture.
Yeah, but what in the Bible do you go get, does it tell
you to
get a license?
Well,
and no, but the point is, we cannot say you have to have, in our time period, you want to have that marriage certificate, you want to make it proper.
Legal.
Proper and legal. You still want to tell young people, oh, just pick the person you want, if you love them, then just skip the whole thing. Forget the whole house.
Sin.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what's happening.
When they're
not married, they're living in sin.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, hello, Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy. Of course. Go ahead.
That's what I'm hearing here for myself, because I'm in that position as a divorced woman, had not a clue that I was not to be remarried. So when God says that He makes us twine, and He says it's one flesh, and then joined together, let no man put thunder, isn't that the point? If it's going to a Christian church, does that mean we can go and get a divorce because we're dealing with secular?
I don't believe so. Let's wave to Wendy in Wisconsin.
Everybody wants to answer that? I didn't get it.
Well, if you have a divorce, a secular divorce, does that make it a Christian divorce? I think that's what she was asking.
I mean, as far as man put asunder, I mean,
yeah.
Wendy, before that, she said she didn't know some certain things. It took a while to learn some biblical principles.
Yeah.
And so, what the biblical principle is here is
the man she loved.
Don't get it, not man put asunder. You don't go to the court and have man in the court nullify that marriage, to make it a divorce, make it
the present marriage.
Right. Barbara?
Any marriage.
So, what makes you married?
All right, here's my answer.
Okay.
Everybody else has a comment, I'm going to take an answer. You can have a legal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I do, so on and so forth. But as the illustration is the way it's said, there's no consummation. It's just like a brother and sister living together. They're in the same house, but there's no sexual consummation. It's therefore not strictly two becoming one flesh until that consummation. To me, even though legally they may have the contract, and of course you have to get that thing divorced, but before God, is it right for these people who never had any sexual union, just plain brother and sister type of situation, is it proper for them to remarry, in other words, to really marry and have a consummation? And I say yes, it is, because there's been no consummation. So that, excuse me, let's get this one there, but go ahead from us. Hey, Rob from Chicago, right, Rob?
Okay, sure. Concerning the consummation of it, and that we're talking about when the two are joined, they become one flesh. And I think that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:16 makes a mention of that, and when he says, "Well, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." And that's
right, Rob.
That's your ultimate act of fornication.
Yes.
Right there.
Okay, thanks, Rob. It's way to Rob and Chicago. Good.
I understand, but that's only a component.
Yeah.
It's not what makes you married.
Mm-hmm. So it should be a legal situation, no question about that. On the other hand, is it permissible in a Christian way? Are two people really, in the scriptural sense, joined to one flesh when there's no consummation of any kind?
It's against
the
gospel.
Anthony.
Okay, if you get married and you don't consummate the marriage, you don't have to get a divorce, you get an annulment.
Get an annulment, that's right. That's good.
That's all you do is you separate. They go back to being two people.
Just an annulment, that's right.
Unless you have common property, which has to be divided.
Yes, then you get
a divorce. That has to do with the marriage property.
Well, then you have to get a divorce. According to some.
That's what you divide up. That's all. You get this, I get that.
Yeah, but there's
liability. It's got nothing to do with the marriage.
According to some states, though, if you have joint property, you have to divorce and then divide after the divorce. So that's some of the laws of the state.
During the divorce. You don't do it afterwards.
No. You do it during the divorce, yes.
That's part of the arrangement.
Well, I know a couple that live not too far from here that used to. 13 years they were married and no consummation of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have, he was a strange looking thing anyhow, but anyhow.
Yes.
Did they want to stay together?
They stayed together.
Did they stay together?
Yes, but
did they want to stay together?
Eventually.
And they didn't want a divorce. Or the annulment.
Well, she didn't know what to do. She's embarrassed. She didn't know what to do.
Well, she didn't ever look the guy to handle.
Let her talk. Anthony, let her talk. Go ahead.
She didn't know what to do. You know, I mean, she was a little slow.
Anthony,
wait till Mrs. Waite finishes talking. No comments, no questions, no statements.
I forget what I'm talking about. So eventually, I can't remember which happened first. She met another man.
Yes.
I mean, here she was, a virgin, married,
right.
13
exactly.
years. And her mother, nobody knew. Her mother told me this later.
Right.
And then she met a man that she loved.
Right.
So she got rid of this other one.
Right.
I don't know. I think she got an annulment, but then I don't know the property.
Exactly.
And then she married another man, and then she had an actual marriage.
Exactly.
With a man who loved her and she loved.
She had two actual marriages.
Yes, but the actual, before the Lord,
with
the consummation of the marriage is what makes Christian marriage. Twain has to be one flesh. You don't live together as brother and sister, even though technically you had a marriage certificate, but in the Bible sense, the twain have not become one flesh until the consummation. Anna.
But you can't use just consummation, because then there's a whole bunch of people that are married that aren't legally, for whatever reason, they decide to do something and they're not married and they do it once and then are they married? No, because clearly that's defined as fornication, not doing.
I realize that. I realize all that. And I'm not justifying fornication.
No, but we're
not
trying to define
what marriage is.
Yeah. Well.
Some people never get a certificate and they live together and they're faithful to each other.
That's a common law in some states.
It's a common law.
But Anthony told me New Jersey didn't have common law.
In New Jersey, there's no common law.
Yeah. All right. I know that isn't fair.
And we live in New Jersey.
Okay, back again. It isn't fair.
Now, in the situations of, if we have, you know, how's the men and women, they have a formal ceremony, and on the way to the reception, there's a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
When one of the bride or the groom is killed in a car accident, so that means they were never married. In our definition,
they were.
That's another way.
Okay, so if it's the legal and the sexual, they were only halfway there.
All right, let's go. One different. Wisconsin, go ahead, Wendy.
There's probably three elements.
Turn the volume down. Turn the volume down on the TV. It's too loud.
Okay,
you have
to
put it
close to the
screen.
That's better.
Okay, that's on my screen. So what I want to find out is, when did a marriage license come in to play in the United States of America?
All right, we'll have to answer that. Thank you. Let's wave to Wendy a second time. All right, Bert, you want to answer that?
Marriage licenses have been around since the 1500s. They became mandatory in the United States in 1932 with the act of trying to find out who the veterans were because you had to prove that you were married to the veteran to get his benefits back in 1932 under FDR. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to speak to that question?
Let's speak to the Bible. No veterans.
Okay.
But that's when it started. That's when all the legalities of the marriage license started.
No. Yes.
I was married by the Bürgermeister, which was the mayor of the town in Germany where we lived. I was married by the chaplain, which legally didn't count, but I wanted a church wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tied the knot so many ways, it wasn't funny. But I'm still... My whole thing was, when I got married on Wednesday with the Bürgermeister, it was just filling out paperwork and whatever. When I walked down the aisle Saturday in my gown and did the whole wedding thing, and I turned around after my vows were said, and Larry and I walked up the aisle, I felt married. Now, right. I understand feelings don't have anything to do with it, but... Yeah. Legally, if I hadn't wanted to stay with him from Wednesday on, it was a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday, walking back up the aisle with him, I felt married. There's something, it's got to be more than just paper, and it's got to be more than, there's a whole emotional component involved in you considering yourself married.
Mm-hmm. There's a different position taken by Dr. Don, what's his last name, honey?
Boyce.
Dr. Don Boyce. Like John Boyce says, the government should get out of marriage.
Yes.
It should be a church situation.
Yes.
Because if a government is involved, then it can dictate what you do and so on. Right. So it's interesting. He's written a number of materials on that. And if you're interested in that other phase, other position of marriage, please look it up and give it to him. Yes, ma'am.
How can you have joint property? How can you have certain things like
that? Well, certain things must be with the state. Yeah, but the other things, let the church be in charge of the marriage itself, not state.
How can your children be?
He believes against all state control of marriage. Yeah. The question is.
I think in the context, I think, I mean, if it's either Boys or somebody else, that he's saying do exactly like what Barbara did. You go let the state do their thing down at the city hall.
Yeah.
And then you have, I mean, then you do what Barbara did, and then you have a church wedding and let the church do their thing. That way the state can't tell the church who they can marry.
Exactly. And that's his point.
Yes,
that's
his
point.
You guys
did it, right?
And so you go to the city hall and you get your let the justice of the peace marry you there, but you illegally marry you there.
Yeah.
You wait till the Saturday and then you have the church wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way the city hall can't tell people in the church, you got to marry this couple.
Mm-hmm.
You can marry if you want to.
Anna and then Anthony.
Well, it was my understanding that you have to go to city hall to get a marriage license anyway. So I guess I thought you get...
You do.
So you go there to get the marriage license,
Well, and your children are legal.
The church can't give you a marriage license.
No.
But there's certain things the state must do that don't have a marriage.
I'm confused about
he's got it all worked out so that there's no control by the state over marriage.
They don't give the permission.
The pastor does not sign the marriage license.
Right.
The city official signs the marriage license.
The pastor signs.
I don't know what this thing is, but believe me, he worked it out so that it's logical, reasonable, and scriptural. So, all the details, I don't know.
What Dr. Boyce is saying, she's clarified already. Did he clarify to you?
She clarified to me.
Well,
so I missed that.
Like what did you get? You know,
the
Burgermeister.
Burgermeister
is the one that signed your marriage certificate. And if your pastor's name was no place on it.
No, Lance, okay?
Well, that's under the law today, but he's talking about something different.
No, we're talking about the boy's position.
The boy's position, yes. Anthony.
We're talking about the law in Germany.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Before he marries you, he's got to see your marriage license. I give him the authority to marry you.
Right, okay.
So, but the marriage still comes from, the permission still comes from the state. It's still legal.
The license.
You have, the state has granted you permission that you are then allowed to marry.
That's absolutely right.
What Dr. Wade is saying is it, the state should have no, that's the state law.
Well, there's another way of going about it. It's not wrong.
What other way can you go about it?
Wait a minute. Dr. Boyce's position, nobody knows exactly. Don't argue against it till you read it and understand it. What he said is completely
legal.
Yeah, but it's completely legal. Nothing wrong with it. And that's his position. Yes.
To bring up, because I've brought this up before, Mrs. Waite's position, if you only go to the church to get married, your children can't be legal and under the state.
They're bastards.
Yes.
But that's not
for he handles that. Dr. Boyce handles all those details, makes it completely
logical. And if you're going to get married by the state, period, then you're going to have a ceremony
by the pastor afterwards.
Pastor Dan and Anna, and then I want to read two other verses.
Not to beat a dead horse.
Beat it hard.
But the point is, you know, a couple wants to get married. Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill want to get married. Right.
Okay, so Jack and Jill, they go down to the city hall. They go to the city hall on Saturday morning and say, "Mr. Mayor, will you marry us?" He says, "Sure, we'll marry you." And so they have a wedding in the eyes of the state at the city hall at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At 1 o'clock. They drive down to their local church, and they have a real wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have the state wedding. It's not a real. It's the wedding officially took place in City Hall.
What did they get?
They were married at City Hall at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I got that.
But they want to have a church ceremony at 2 o'clock.
What's the church ceremony?
Well, not before they leave. It's a long thing. But thank you very much. I appreciate it, Rob. Let's wave to Rob again a second time. Chicago. Okay. Let me read two more verses on the subject of divorce. In Romans chapter 7, it's very clear. Brethren, I speak to them and know the law. The law has dominion over man as long as he lives. verse 2, 7, 2, Romans 7, verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's Romans 7. Now I want to read 1 Corinthians 7. That gives us, these are the scriptural New Testament pictures as far as divorce, remarriage, and various other things. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
That was Romans
7? Romans 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. So these are some of the things that are in 1 Corinthians 7 and Romans 7. Any other questions on Mark 10? Oh, just go ahead, Caroline.
I have a question. It's like if you're married to in a house, and if the minister comes to your house and marries you, is that still legal that you'd be still legally married then?
Apparently, according to the law, if you had a marriage license, Anthony,
yes.
Is that correct?
Had the marriage license.
Yes, yes, even in the house, yes. All right.
Your mother was married in the house.
It's like $10
for that. So, that word for man, chapter 10, excuse me, Anna, go ahead.
Yeah, a marriage in one's house used to be a common thing, particularly for the wealthy, back 100, 200 years ago.
Right.
Well, because they had big houses and therefore they could have lots of guests.
Oh, okay.
I married someone in this house, right here.
Yeah.
So. You didn't need
y'all. I married someone in this house. I appreciated the marriage. I appreciated the wedding, yes.
I videoed it.
That's right, so you visit. All right.
Divorced now.
No, they're not.
No, they're separated. They're separated.
She's too stubborn.
They're separated.
Stop it.
All right, in verse 9, someone asked what the question of that. Let not man put aside. Did you find out, Anna?
What? What was the question?
Mark 10:9, you looked up for the Greek.
Oh, it's Antipas.
Antipas, yes. In other words, not a legal individual or human being, but a government of any kind put asunder. Well, let's read verse 10, 11, and 12. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. He saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Do we read one more? 10, 11, those are three, yes. Oh, so the disciples asked another question, same matter. What matter was that?
About divorce and marriage.
Mark 10 and verse 10. And then in verse 11, he says very clearly about putting away. What does put away mean?
Divorce.
All right, divorce. And then marry another. What is the sin that's committed? If he puts away his wife and marries another woman.
Adultery.
That's the sin of adultery. I guess. Yes, Paul.
Is adultery the same as infidelity?
Sort of, I guess. Sort of similar. Infidelity, unfaithfulness. Sorry, I got.
I'm sorry.
Extreme cruelty, huh?
Injured.
Yes. All right, and then, so this is the New Testament position here. And then in verse number 12, if a woman puts away her husband and marries another, what does she, what sin is hers? Yes.
Adultery.
Yes. Barbara?
It was my understanding under the law that a woman couldn't divorce a man, that only he could divorce his wife.
That's correct, but this is New Testament now.
Well, I understand.
A woman should put away her husband. Normally, that's what they did. The man put away in the Old Testament, as it says.
I mean, Paul, when he wrote the Corinthians, talked about women divorcing, but the Greek women were allowed to divorce their husbands.
as well as for the Romans.
Yes.
Well, no, the Romans couldn't. Men had to do the divorcing in Rome.
Yeah, weddings, wacky, wrong, and worthy. Yes. So read that, and that's... But we're going to stop right here at verse number 12, and we'll pick that up probably next week. Pastor Dan is going to be here preaching the morning service and taking the Bible study as well, beginning at verse 13. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father. We can discuss the scriptures. Marriage is very difficult. Marriage is very hard to continue, husband and wife. Thank you, Lord, that Bonnie and I, my wife and I, have been living together for these many years, 68 years. Very hard for many people to last that long together. But we ask you, Lord, for guidance of Christian people, young people especially, who are thinking of marriage. Help them to be concerned about what they mean when they say they're going to live together till death. And then just to not do that, it's a hard, difficult thing. And young people just don't know what to say and what to do, but make our Christian families are still together, together until death parts them. We can't change divorce. We can't change separation. We can't change it. But Lord, give the Christians that are still together, keep them together. And those young people that have not married, Christian believers, genuine Christians, help them to have the courage to remain true and steadfast one to another. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.